Well, if you've been tuning in with us, you know that I started a series several weeks ago, and it's called Healing, Your Gift from God. And tonight we are on part six already. So this is, if it is your first time, then I encourage you to go back and listen to the first five sessions so that you get a foundation of where we're going and what we're going to be dealing with. But I intend to cover everything on the topic of healing that I know, which will probably be multiple sessions. Now, before I get into the review from last week, let's do our declaration. And this declaration is something that we started in the very beginning, and I encourage you to write it down, speak it out on a daily basis. And it's simply this: I operate from a position of victory because I have already won. I always approach the enemy from a position of power because the power of God is in me. Now, we have three anchor scriptures for this declaration. All three of them are from the Passion Translation. 1 Peter 2:24. He himself carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we would be dead to sin and live for righteousness. Our instant healing flowed from his wounding. The second one is Romans 16:20. And it says, and the God of peace will swiftly pound Satan to a pulp under your feet. And the wonderful favor of our Lord Jesus will surround you. I just love pounding the enemy under our feet. And then the last one is Romans 8:10 to 11. And it says, now Christ lives his life in you. And basically, if you remember when we did the identity series, we are here and Jesus is living through us. He lives his life in you. And even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, his life-giving spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. Yes, God raised Jesus to life. And since God's spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same spirit that breathes life into you. So tonight I'm adding one little sentence to our declaration, and it is this: in the fellowship of being one with him is our healing. That applies across the board. And the fellowship of being one with him is our healing. Now, I was talking about death in the last two messages, and I covered it from two different aspects. And the first part that I covered was that I wanted Christians to understand that death for a Christian, there's nothing to fear. We shouldn't be afraid of it. When we get an evil report, we shouldn't fear death, okay? And we simply leave our bodies. We fall and go into sleep. It says falling asleep in Jesus. We transition, we graduate. Our body is left behind, but your spirit and your soul move on. And we move on into eternity. So the enemy uses fear to cause you to push the panic button when you get an evil report. But instead, what we do is we turn on the switch of faith and step into the peace of God, listening to the Holy Spirit who will guide us into all truth. All right, so we also know that perfect love casts out all fear. So I encourage you to read Psalm 23, verse 4. We covered that. In the Passion, it says it this way. It says, the comfort of your love, Lord, takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. And we found that resurrection is superior to life. We looked at that. Life is the power to exist, but resurrection is the power to conquer all, even death itself. Now, believers must learn to live in Christ our life, but also Christ our resurrection to conquer all things. And then the second aspect that we covered was talking about death from the perspective of you being the one left behind. You have a loved one. They pass on, they go into eternity, all right, but you're left behind, and how it affects us and how we should look at that. So we looked at 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18. I'm not going to turn there, but just to remind you, this is often the scripture that they share at homegoings, and it talks about us, the loved one being asleep in Jesus. And the world has no hope, but we are not like the world. All right. And so for us, when somebody passes on, all right, we can be comforted knowing that we will see them again. They will be in our future. So, because we each process grief differently, I shared that one's attitudes, their emotions, their feelings, and their relationship with the loved one that passed away is often going to determine how long it takes for them to go through that process of grief. Now, just last Friday, a friend of mine, it was the funeral for her dad. I went to the funeral last Friday, and I got a call from her on Monday that her father-in-law passed away. So she lost her dad and her father-in-law within days. That's heavy duty. And some people are really going through some traumatic things. Some things you hear, it's like, you know, shocking. Now, in the last message, I also wanted people to know that how you deal with death or how you don't deal with death can affect you physically. We're going to cover more of that tonight. And I also looked at Psalm 147:3, where it says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Now, if you recall, I gave a little comparison, the natural world versus the spirit realm, and how I showed the little bandage and the, you know, tape and everything, the ointment, that when you have a natural wound and you bind it up, all right, it's the comparison to what goes on in the spirit realm. You're wounded in your heart many times, and they will both heal with the word of God. So as we continue to wash ourselves or others, as we pray for others, with the word, the healing takes place. And as I mentioned, there may be a scar left, but the emotional pain is gone. And you can talk about it without experiencing such negative emotions. I did a very brief commercial for Grief Share, and I would again encourage anyone who's dealing with grief to attend the program. And it's not just here locally, it's international. So if you're in another state, welcome to my friends down in St. Petersburg. Good evening. If you're down in Florida, if you're somewhere else, look it up online and you can attend the program in other places. We also, last time we looked at Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3, Luke 4, 18, where Jesus tells us that he came to heal the brokenhearted. We looked at Psalm 34, verses 18 and 19. We looked at all of Psalm 121. And we looked at Psalm 23, verses 1 to 4, and talked about PTSD and how people go through emotional events in life that traumatize them. Jesus is the answer, folks. You can take pills, go for therapy. Jesus is the answer for whatever you're experiencing. We talked briefly about that medical condition called Takotsubo cardiomyopathy, also known as broken heart syndrome. It's an actual event that happens to a person's heart, and it is seen most of the time with a married couple or with people very close, like a mother-daughter. And what happens is the one person passes away. Within 24 to 48 hours, the other one passes on. They have the traumatic emotional event of this trauma, the loss of one, and they don't want to live without them. And it can be treated, all right? But they may even ignore it and say, I don't want to be here without that person. It happened with Debbie Reynolds when her daughter passed. And so it's an event that can happen, and we need to know about it. We also looked at 1 Samuel 30. We looked at how poor David had been greatly distressed. He was facing his own warriors, or his own army, actually, were going to stone him because they encountered the situation where their families and all their belongings were taken. And David had to strengthen himself in the Lord. He had to strengthen himself in the Lord. So tonight, I was originally going to go down a particular path, but the Holy Spirit led me in a different direction. And basically what I'm going to do is continue to talk more about grief and the broken heart. So please understand that Jesus, when going to Calvary, what he did at Calvary was for his children, his creation, for the body of Christ to be completely whole. Spirit, soul, and body. Three parts. Everything that he did was so that we can walk completely whole. God gave us emotions and feelings. But with the renewal of our minds, we learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit and keep everything in alignment with the word. We can cry. We can experience the emotional part of the events that happen in our lives, God gave us those feelings. But he also wants us to walk in divine health every single day. And we need to learn our part how to do that. Last time when we talked about grief, we kind of focused more about the loss of a loved one and the grief that's involved with that. But what I want to say tonight is that grief doesn't just happen from the loss of a loved one. Different life events like a divorce, any kind of accident, car accident, loss of a job, loss of a pet, broken relationships, a betrayal in a relationship, or any emotional trauma can be the cause for grief and or a broken heart. There's so many things listed out there that cause people to have a broken heart. You can just have regrets. There's people live their whole life feeling guilty about something. They regret what they did. Women that had abortions, men that encourage women to have an abortion. So I also want to include in this group those who've been caught up in the world of sex trafficking. There are many children out there who've been held captive in this horrific life situation. And all of these individuals, all of these that we're talking about, need healing. So let's go back to Psalm 147. I want to expound upon that. Psalm 147, verse 3. And it says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. I'm reading it from the New King James. Notice, as we look at this, okay, first he heals and then he binds up the wounds. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. When you look at in the Passion, it says he heals the wounds of every shattered heart. There's no exclusions. In the Voice, it says he binds their wounds and heals the sorrows of their hearts. When you look at the word bindeth from the Strong's, it means to wrap firmly, like a turban. You compress or you saddle something. It means to stop, to rule, to bind up, to gird about, to govern. It means healer, put, saddle, or wrap about. The word wounds there, when it says he heals their wounds, it's talking about sorrow, grieve, hurt, be sorry, vex, pain, or anger, and displeasure. So these are emotional things that people experience. So it's also important to remember that when it says he binds up their wounds, this signifies that the process takes time. It's not an instant type of response, you know, manifestation. So let's go looking at Isaiah 53, 3-5, and I'm going to read it from the New King James and the Passion, as I usually do. But Isaiah 53, 3-5 in the New King James. Now, as I'm going through these verses, I want you to tune in to the things that are emotional, okay? Because people experience stuff and then they wonder, God doesn't understand. We're going to see here that Jesus experienced it all, everything. So it says, he is despised and rejected by men. Two words there. He's despised and rejected by men. Many people experience rejection in life, all right? And they don't know how to handle it. It affects them sometimes for their whole life. Jesus was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs, your grief that you go through from the loss of a loved one, he bore it and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All right. So now remember, Isaiah was speaking here of the coming Messiah. So in the Hebrew, they use the tense, we are healed. All right. And of course, Peter in 1 Peter 2:24, he saw what actually happened on the cross. And he talks about the fact that by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed, using that past tense. So listen to it in the Passion. Again, I want you to focus on the words that have to do with their emotions. and feelings. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of deep sorrows who was no stranger to suffering and grief. He understands, folks, what you're going through. We hid our faces from him in disgust and considered him a nobody, not worthy of respect. Wow. Some people out there often are bullied, talked about, kids in school. People consider them a nobody and have no respect for them. Yet he was the one who carried our sickness and endured the torment of our sufferings. We viewed him as one who was being punished for something he himself had done, as one who was struck down by God and brought low. But it was because of our rebellious deeds that he was pierced, and because of our sins that he was crushed. He endured the punishment that made us completely whole, and in his wounding we found our healing. So we're to be completely whole. And all the things that we experienced emotionally, he took care of for us, so we wouldn't have to endure that. Jesus was the most emotionally whole and healed man to ever walk the earth. Let me say it again. Jesus was the most emotionally whole and healed man to ever walk the earth. There's no sign, no scriptures ever of him experiencing sickness or disease or anything. And you see that the time the disciples were with him, even they were well. And they witnessed that. So when you go into the book of Acts, you see how the disciples went out and did the work of Jesus. They carried out the work of Jesus. But I don't recall ever seeing that there was any of them that were sick. He did not absorb the insults and rejections of even his own neighbors. So remember in Luke 4, after he went to the synagogue and he comes and he opens up the scrolls and he's sharing Isaiah 61 and he says to them, this day this is fulfilled in your hearing, okay? Well, they didn't like what he said. Many of them were people that he knew and they knew him, all right? And they immediately were ready to throw him off the cliff. Took him out and we're going to throw him off the cliff. So he didn't allow that to affect him. In the fellowship of being one with him is our healing. When we are united with him, when we are tapped into the scriptures, the word of God, you will experience your healing. Let's look at some additional scriptures. Let's go to Proverbs 18, verse 14. I'm going to read from the New King James as well as the Passion. Proverbs 18, verse 14 in the New King James. And it says, the spirit of man will sustain him in sickness. The spirit of man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? The Passion says it this way, the will to live sustains you when you are sick, but depression crushes courage and leaves you unable to cope. Depression crushes courage and leaves you unable to cope. So we need to be careful that our emotions and feelings don't bring us so far down that we slip into depression. Depression and discouragement can sap the very life out of you. The word there in the broken spirit, it means in one's personhood, which has been crushed by life's difficulties. That's what the broken spirit means there. In one's personhood, which has been crushed by life's difficulties. It is often accompanied by depression. Healing such wounded personalities is part of Jesus's ministry, exactly what he talked about doing in Luke 4, 18. And he came to set the captives free in addition to heal the brokenhearted. Let's go to Proverbs 4, 23. We're going to be looking at several Proverbs here. We're going to come back to 4:20, but 4:23 in the New King James, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. In the Passion, it says, so above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. So pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. We need to pay attention to our emotions. Amen. And then the word heart there is L-E-V-A-V, levav in the Hebrew. And it's the most common word for heart. And it includes our thoughts, our will, our discernment, and our affections. Let's go to Proverbs 15, verse 13. Proverbs 15, verse 13, again in the New King James and in the Passion. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. And the Passion says, a cheerful heart puts a smile on your face, but a broken heart leads to depression. A broken heart leads to depression. Proverbs 15:15 in the New King James. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. The Passion says it, everything seems to go wrong when you feel weak and depressed, but when you choose to be cheerful, stop there for a second, when you choose, you make the choice. When you choose to be cheerful, every day will bring you more and more joy and fullness. Remember Pastor Sarah's show, The Choice is Yours. Let's go to Proverbs 17, verse 22 in the New King James. And it says, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. The Passion, a joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both body and soul. But the one whose heart is crushed struggles with sickness and depression. You don't want to allow the emotions, the depression and things like that to get a hold, because it will bring on physical illness. The marrow of our bones is what produces our blood cells. And this has a lot to do with our health. A broken spirit, or you can say emotional, mental attitude that's inappropriate or wrong, dries the bones. In the world of medicine, we shouldn't overlook the way people think and feel, because sickness and disease is often directly connected. I know there's a statistic out there. We've talked about it in the healing classes and stuff. Don't know what the current one is, but we know that there's a high percentage of many illnesses that have an emotional basis. Something happens and the sickness happens along. Now, I'm going to share a little story with you. Some of you that have been to the healing classes may remember it. But in the past, for many years, I had been a member of the Order of St. Luke. And we met every month. The group was over in Westchester, and the focus was on healing. And it was predominantly done by the Episcopal Church. And we had meetings all over the country, all over the world, in fact. But there was a canon that was somebody like almost like a bishop or something in the Episcopal Church. His name was Canon Jim Glennon. And in Australia, which is where he lived, he came and spoke with us. He had a book out and so forth. But he came and shared about how the team decided to go in and minister to different people, and they had one individual. She was in her 40s, and she was terminal. She was in ICU, and the doctors didn't give her very long to live. So the prayer team went with her, and they decided to minister to her and pray for her, pray over her, and they asked her a question, and they said, what happened to you 18 to 24 months before this disease occurred? And didn't take long, and she said, well, I got divorced. And she shared how it was unexpected. The husband just said, you know, one day I'm no longer interested in being married to you, and I want a divorce. It devastated her. And I can understand, rightfully so. So sometimes when things happen, that it's an emotional trauma, a root of bitterness will set in, and you are heading down the wrong road, right into sickness and disease. So what they did is they prayed for her. They spent time praying in the spirit. They dealt with it. They led her to forgive her ex-husband. And they spent, you know, the time sharing the scripture with her, letting her know that she could be healed And she didn't need to allow this event to be a part of her life to such a degree. So within a week, she was so improved that they transferred her out of ICU. And then within another week, she was discharged, completely healed, totally healed. So emotions will and can affect you if you don't know how to work with your emotions and if they get out of control. So this root of bitterness can certainly send people in the wrong direction. So don't let any righteous indignation be the cause of a disease and an eventual downfall, because we can get so mad at somebody that we feel, you know, we have the right to feel the way we do, and sometimes we do, but vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So we need to be careful. Let's go to Proverbs 4, verse 10 in the New King James and then the Passion. Proverbs 4, verse 10. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. We need to be focused on the sayings of the Lord. We need to be focused on the word of God. Listen to it in the Passion. My son, if you will take the time to stop and listen to me and embrace what I say, you will live a long and happy life of understanding in every way. We always, you know, it's nice to live life, but certainly it's a whole lot better to live it being happy and rejoicing in the Lord than embracing depression and all these things along the way. Let's go to Proverbs 4, 20-22, often spoken from this pulpit, Proverbs 4, 20-22 in the New King James. And it says, my son, give attention to my words. Give attention to my words, to the Bible, to the word of God. Not necessarily the television or the newspaper, okay, but give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life. The word of God is life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. The word of God is health. Listen to it in the Passion. When the Passion gets to this section, it says, it entitles it, Healing Words. If you've read it in the Passion, it's Healing Words. Listen carefully, my dear child, to everything that I teach you, and pay attention to all that I have to say. Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. Then as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health into the very core of your being. I hope you're grasping how important it is for us to understand the importance of the word of God. Okay, it's so important when it comes to our health. When we encounter issues in life, we need to go through the situation. The process of grief comes along the way, and sometimes and we're overwhelmed by it, but we need to go through that and deal with our trauma. We can't just slap scripture on things. We can't just slap scripture on things, okay? When people are going through emotional trauma and emotional events, all right, they often, a lot of times, need to talk about it, because you can get stuck in a cycle of depression. You can get stuck there. Now, if you find yourself stuck in a cycle of depression, you didn't accept the loss. I'm going to repeat that. If you find yourself stuck in a cycle of depression, you didn't accept the loss. So to get ready for the future, we need to get over the past. To get ready for the future, we need to get over the past. And we need to run a race that God planned for us to win. How many people can you think of who couldn't move on after Pastor Clinton died? I wish I had an audience here, but how many people couldn't move on after Pastor Clinton died? Some moved out and are still floating around with no home church. Okay? But our pastors were training us to deal with today. They came, and we're here for such a time as this. Now, if you remember, Pastor Sarah had the VVV, Victorious Violated Victims Group, right? And they met and they discussed this kind of thing, because people experience grief. They go through traumatic events in their life, all right? And they need Jesus, or else that event is going to stay with them for the rest of their life. We need to move on. Those in the body of Christ who are hurting sometimes need someone to just hold them up. We're not going to turn there, but Exodus 17, 12 to 13, I'm just going to share this briefly. Moses was with Joshua, and the Israelites were in a battle, okay? And the Amalekites were winning, and every time Moses would raise the hand, the Israelites got the victory and were winning. But after a while, it got tiring, and Aaron and Ur supported his hands, one on one side, one on the other side, and his hands were steady until going down of the sun. So they were able to defeat the Amalekites with the sword by the end of the day, but it was because Aaron and Ur came and supported Moses to get through that time. So sometimes we need to help those who are hurting and support them until they get through their situation. Now, many years ago, I remember hearing a phrase, something that went like this: the Christian army is the only army that destroys its wounded. That's pretty heavy duty. We should be ministering to the Christian army, to each other. And I hope that that area is no longer present. I hope that we've matured and we no longer see that happening. We need to be able to help our own. But many times people are going through situations, okay, and nobody knows about it. We internalize things and we put up walls and we put up a good show, all right? And everybody thinks everything's going great. But sometimes we put those walls up because we don't want to let anyone know that we've been hurt, and we don't want to get hurt again. So we don't want to let anybody in. And really what we are wishing is that somebody would break down the wall and help us come in and take care of us and get us out of that situation of our own self-made hell. Because sometimes that's what it is. We did it to ourselves. We put up a wall. I don't want to know anything. Don't want to go through this ever again. And that's not what God wants for us. That's not living a victorious life. Human beings are not perfect. Yet when we put our trust in them instead of God, we end up getting hurt. And it's going to happen at some point in your life. Only Jesus is perfect and the only one that we can fully trust. Never forget that. Only Jesus is perfect and the only one we can fully trust. Let's look at Jeremiah 17:5. Jeremiah 17:5 in the New King James. And it says, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord." So the world's out there telling you, you know, do all these things. I'll take care of you. I'll help you. I'll do this. The government wants to take care of everybody. All right. And that's not the way to go. Listen to the New Living. This is what the Lord says. "Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord." So when we turn our hearts away from the Lord, we have just opened the door to get a broken heart. Give it time. Let's go to Proverbs 3, verse 5. In the New King James, familiar scripture, Proverbs 3, verse 5. In the New King James and then the Passion, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." In the Passion, it says, "Trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make." He wants you to be that close with him for every decision. Now, I want to address the subject of addictions for a minute, because addiction is a spiritual problem. And when people go through broken hearts, they're in grief, okay? They try to cover up the pain. They try to minimize it some way, somehow. And they'll use drugs, sex, alcohol, even food. Because their pain is temporarily alleviated by using one of these, they become addicted. So now they just have added to the problem. It is not the answer. It only enhances the problems, okay? So the Spirit of God can heal you through the Word of God. We've been talking about this. We are, you know, healing is a gift. It's something that Jesus provided for us as soon as we got born again. The Holy Spirit is the only one who knows you personally so well that he knows how you're going to be healed in the area of your emotions and what you need best. God can use other people, but you are going to have to open up to God yourself. Open up to the Holy Spirit and follow his leading. It is the Word that ministers life to your spirit. And as your broken heart is healed, you will not need any kind of crutches like alcohol or drugs. You won't need them because you will be completely healed, spirit, soul, and body. Now, we can't end the evening without giving you help in getting set free from a broken heart and or grief that you may have been living with, and in some cases for years. And the Holy Spirit brought something up to me earlier today, and it's coming up again because I guess now's the time I'm supposed to mention it. But there's a woman out there who was divorced. She was divorced many years ago, maybe more than one, but I know of one specifically. And the Lord is saying to you that you grieved for years over that divorce, and you're still grieving, but he wants to heal you. He wants you to know that it wasn't your fault, and he wants to heal you. So we looked last week at Psalm 121. We read it in its entirety. And there are numerous scriptures that I gave last week and additional ones that I've given tonight, but we're going to look at one psalm tonight and read it in its entirety, and it's King David's poetic praise to God at the feast of the dedication of the house of David. And the New King James entitles this psalm, The Blessedness of Answered Prayer. And the Passion entitles it, He Healed Me. I love that. He healed me. But I just want to say to this person, and it may be more, but I know one for sure. You've grieved over that, and you kept a lot in. And the Lord is saying it's time to release it and be set free, because not only did he come to heal the brokenhearted, but he came to set the captives free. Amen. So let's look at Psalm 30. We're going to look at Psalm 30. We're going to read the whole thing, verses 1 to 12 in the New King James. And pay attention to the words. I'm going to kind of repeat some of them that are very effective because they're really great. But Psalm 30, I love the fact that the Passion entitled it, He Healed Me. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you, and you healed me. I cried out to you, and you healed me. Folks, anything that you're going through, just cry out to him. He heals. He will heal you. Verse 3, O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. You're going through what you think is hell right now, but joy is always there in the morning. Now in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face and I was troubled. I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is it there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my morning into dancing. He will turn your morning into dancing, and you have put off sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. That's an encouraging psalm, folks. You can sing, I mean, say it, you can sing it too, but you can repeat it a couple times a day. He heals us. Oh Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. It confirms that over and over in that psalm. Listen to it in the Passion. Lord, I will exalt you and lift you high, for you have lifted me up on high. Over all my boasting and gloating enemies, you made me to triumph. Oh Lord, my healing God, I cried out for a miracle and you healed me. Oh Lord, my healing God, I cried out for a miracle and you healed me. You brought me back from the brink of death, from the depths below. Now here I am, alive and well, fully restored. Jesus Christ is the God of restoration, folks. That's what he came to do. You've healed me, alive and well, and fully restored. Oh, sing and make melody, you steadfast lovers of God. Give thanks to him every time you reflect on his holiness. I've learned that his anger lasts for a moment, but his loving favor lasts a lifetime. His loving favor lasts a lifetime. We may weep through the night, but at daybreak, it will turn into shouts of ecstatic joy. I remember boasting, I've got it made. Nothing can stop me now. I'm God's favored one. He's made me steady and stay on as steady as a mountain. But then suddenly you hid your face from me. I was panic-stricken and became depressed. Still, I cried out to you, Lord God. I shouted out for mercy, saying, what would you gain in my death if I were to go down to the depths of darkness? Will a grave sing your song? How could death's dust declare your faithfulness? So hear me now, Lord. Show me your famous mercy. O God, be my Savior and rescue me. Then he broke through and transformed all my wailing into a whirling dance and ecstatic praise. He has torn the veil and lifted from me the sad heaviness of mourning. He wrapped me in the glory garments of gladness. Wow, you're wrapped in the glory garments of gladness. How could I be silent when it's time to praise you? Now my heart sings out loud, bursting with joy. A bliss inside that keeps me singing. I can never thank you enough. Amen. So you have Psalm 121, Psalm 30, plus the scriptures. They all encourage you to believe and trust God for your healing if you're experiencing grief or any type of broken heart. Now, I encourage anyone listening to this message to go before the Lord. Let him know what you need help with. Have a great conversation, an open conversation with him. First of all, he already knows, right? But simply be honest and pour out your heart before him. Pour out your heart before him. He wants us to come to him. Let him know what has had you stuck and what has held you captive. He wants you set free. And if you have any physical symptoms that may be connected to a traumatic emotional event, put that out before the Lord as well. Maybe you have been experiencing some symptoms of something and it's not going away, but you've never really made a connection to something that happened emotionally before the symptoms started. Do a little homework, spend some time with that, and put that out before the Lord as well. Remind him of his word. He says, put me in remembrance. And then read Psalm 121 or Psalm 30 or both of them. And then simply listen. You have not finished praying until you have listened. And he will talk to you. He'll speak to you. You can get your healing tonight, folks, for whatever it is. Remember, in the fellowship of being one with him is our healing. Amen. So, we never conclude a service without giving people the opportunity to ask Jesus into their heart. And so tonight, if you're new with this, if you've just tuned in, you've never, you're not a Christian, you never tuned into our Wednesday night session, I'm going to pray a prayer now to give you an opportunity to ask Jesus into your heart so that you can be instantly changed from going to hell to going to heaven. You will become born again, and you will be a new creature in Christ Jesus. So just repeat this simple prayer after me. Say, dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your son. I believe that he was crucified, died, and buried, but rose on the third day. Jesus, come into my heart. Take over my life. Be my Savior and my Lord. I thank you that I now have eternal life with you. Forgive me for any and all of my sins. And I give you all glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we're going to put on the screen contact information. You can also contact us if this is your first time that you've watched. But you'll see up there that you can reach out to us by email, by mail, or by phone. Because if you pray that prayer, we want you to get started in the right direction. And we want to give you important information to help you as you get started as a new baby Christian. There's things you need to do, to know. It's important for you to get plugged into a good church, to be fed and be taught, and to fellowship around other believers. So reach out to us if that's happened with you.